It's Friday, and this is the Ramsey Call of the Day, part of the Ramsey Network. Joining me today is Ramsey personality, Dr. John Deloney.
Today's question comes from Chad in Utah. My wife has been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, otherwise known as multiple personalities. Too often when she goes shopping, some of her younger identities come up and she ends up spending money that we just don't have. Then she gets home and feels bad about her purchases, but is too ashamed to take things back. We are in baby step 2 and working toward getting our debts paid off, but it's going extraordinarily slow because of this. My question is, what advice would you have to help curb the spending? Aside from simply taking over the money, I just don't know what else to do. You got to simply take over the money.
Yep.
You got to take the debit card out of her hands. You'll have to, when she is in what I would call, when she's got her central state, when her central identity is running the show, you got to make sure that she turns over all of her spending, and your job is now to go to the store. You're working with someone who's not fully well, and until she can integrate some of that, and that's a hard, long process, you're going to be running the show when it comes to the money.
Yeah. She is not... if we were to, if say someone has dementia, as an example, they are of diminished capacity,
right,
from a legal standpoint, and so you could take your grandpa into the judge with the doc's letters and say, "Grandpa's of diminished capacity. We need to take over and take, you know," they appoint a guardian ad litem, and you don't ask someone who is of diminished capacity to make quality decisions for themselves,
right?
And so from a legal standpoint, you don't have to do that legally in this case, but you literally take over someone's finances for their own good.
That's right.
Not for your good, but because they're not capable of doing it in their current state. Hopefully, there's some work that can be done, and this is not a permanent thing, but basically, she's got a mental illness, and you're caring for a wife who has a mental illness.
That's right. And I would recommend, Chad, I would recommend you get a friend or an accountability partner that will walk with you, because she may not be able to carry that load right now. And that's the season y'all are in. And you may be in this road for a long time, right? This is a very, very rare disorder, despite how much attention it gets on TV and whatnot. And you may be in it for a while. So get somebody you can walk along with you that will cheer you on, that will be frustrated with you, and will help you make good decisions. But yeah, this is your road to hoe, my man.
I'll give you another one, okay? Something as simple as I've worked with over the years, someone who's recovering from a gambling addiction. They can't touch money.
You're right.
Until they've got 6 months clean, and then they can only touch certain amounts, and then they got to have another 6 months clean, and then they can only touch certain amounts. And then, you know, when you got 2 years clean, we could talk about having joint accounts again.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm just going to take care of you.
Right.
Because when you touch money, you can't do it.
That's right.
And so it's not good for you. It's not good for us. And so you're expecting something of her that she does not have the strength and capacity to deliver, which is called self-discipline.
That's right.
And so you've got to step in and do that. Very interesting. Let me ask you this. When I read this, because I know nothing about this, I mean, other than I know what this is,
right,
but, you know, from the three psych classes I had in my life,
right,
but,
right,
you know, but how often is something like this misdiagnosed?
Significantly, massively, massively. True dissociative identity disorder is super, super rare. And it's a splintering of your identities. It's less about you've got different people living inside of you, and more you've got identities. Usually it stems from really significant trauma. From childhood.
Yeah.
And you've got different identities that will rise up and take care of different things, like scary moments and joyful moments. And there may be something around money or stores or responsibility that this Jack's wife reverts back.
Yeah,
and usually there's one that's a quarterback. There's some interesting stuff, man. You can look at the brain images change, blood pressure changes, in true diagnostics. It's it's really bizarre.
But it's very rare.
It's incredible, but it's very, very rare. Right.
Yeah, so maybe not in this situation, but maybe if someone thought they had that, it could be that it's almost like we're trying to give something a label where I'm just refusing to control myself.
Occasionally, usually, if you've got
it's
that,
just the younger me. I need a victim.
Yeah, if I would go see somebody twice, I'd go see two different people who diagnosed me with this.
Mm-hmm.
I would not absolutely 100%. You can't self-diagnose this.
No,
right?
No, no, no.
And sometimes dealing with trauma.
And I can't undiagnose it sitting here, obviously, either. And that's not
right.
What I'm trying to do in their situation. I just, there's a little part of me that wonders, you know, the younger identity. I've heard so many people have so many excuses over the years on why they will not control their spending.
That's exactly right.
And I'm not saying this is the case with her, but sure. I'm always leery.
That's right. And again, in these rare, rare moments, the working together means you're taking over, right?
Yeah. You're just, because you're just are a diminished capacity.
That's right.
That's different than I refuse to.
Or it makes me scared when. Or it reminds me when I was a kid and
that's not,
those are different.
That's a lot different. That's right. A difference in a 10 and a 2.
This you're talking, your heart rate changes, your blood pressure. I've seen some where
even vocal cords reshift.
Some are smoking and some don't smoke. I mean, you're talking dramatic and it's super rare. And like I said, if someone I love was diagnosed with this, I would be on the phone with another doctor immediately to get a completely new workup to see if this is accurate and true.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably shows up in the movies more than in real life.
Way more in the movies, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Open phones at 888-825-5225. And by the way, just in case some of you misheard that, in neither one of us are saying that is the case with Chad's wife.
Absolutely.
It's just a discussion because this kind of thing comes up. Behaviors and mental illnesses and diagnoses, you know, bipolar is the one I do get a lot.
We get that a lot. And
that's much more frequent.
Yeah, and we're living in a world where you can only get reimbursed from insurance with a diagnosis. And so there is an incentive to give a diagnosis.
Which means get labeled.
Get labeled. We live in a world where we overnight, literally 10 years ago, we all got access to everybody's information without the training that goes with deciphering some of that information. And so we all have become armchair quarterbacks when it comes to what you have, what I have.
Pop psychologists.
And then the third is we are all looking for a reason why, like we talked about in the last segment, why we can't just grind out and do the hard, small steps that is every day. And you take all three of those together, and you get diagnosis all over the place. You get people diagnosing themselves.
Prescriptions issued all over the place.
Prescriptions like they're Tic Tacs, and then look around. We got a mess, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't undermine there are very real psychological challenges that people experience.
Absolutely, they do. There's no question.
Living in attention.
I'm not
right
trying
now
to be cold in that regard.
No, I didn't hear that at all. Yeah.
But,
no.
I'm just saying neither one of us are saying that about his wife.
Yeah.
Because we don't know in that situation.
Yep.
But if that is truly what's going on, and it sounds like it is, then yes, you cannot. She cannot handle money until she has a level of healing past that. And if you're, you know, if you have someone that's dealing with gambling addiction, they cannot touch money.
Mm-hmm.
If they're dealing with a pornography addiction, they cannot touch money. As a matter of fact, if they're dealing with an addiction, they just can't touch money. Because addicts, 100% of addicts are broke eventually.
It's the gasoline for their fire, right?
Eventually. They're going to spend money on their thing, whatever it is they're addicted to the point they destroy their family and themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. There are no such thing as rich addicts.
Hmm.
That remain rich forever.
They remain rich. Yeah. That's right. Huh?
Eventually, they're going to snort their fortune away or, you know, it goes from porn to prostitutes or whatever.
Mm.
And, you know, gambling is pretty quick. You can run through the money with gambling.
Real
fast.
Just
open up your computer and you can go through about $100,000 in 20 minutes.
And there's always someone on the street corner to give you some more, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The internet will hook you up, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now seeing the fastest growing addiction in our offices for financial counseling is porn.
Really?
Second is gambling. Because of internet access.
That's right.
It's driven it through the roof. Thanks for tuning in to the Ramsey Call of the Day. Check out all of our podcasts. Just search Ramsey Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.